your Bibles and let's go to Romans chapter 11. This morning we're going to finish up this 11th chapter of the book of Romans. We looked at the first 15 verses, which as this whole section of Romans, Romans 9, 10, 11, which addresses Jew and Gentile in the age of grace. In verse 15, where we ended up yesterday, it says, "For if the casting away of them," referring to the Judeans, "be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead?" Paul's inner heart's desire, and even bigger than that, God's desire, was that Israel would accept the Messiah, that Israel would believe concerning Jesus Christ. When they didn't, here it's described as the casting away of them. And we saw from verse 1 that God wasn't the one who cast them away, but they were cast away by their own unbelief. But it still was available for the Jews to believe. Just like any human being, that people might reject the gospel of God concerning Jesus Christ at one point in their life, but God is so gracious and kind and forbearing. He puts up with all of our crap that even people on their deathbed can accept the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. So here, if those of an Israelitic background were to believe the gospel, it would be life from the dead. Verse 16, "For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou," and this refers to the Gentiles, "being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree." So this is making an analogy of a graft, the original tree, of course, being Israel. Some of the branches were broken off because of their unbelief, and then the Gentiles got in. So there was like a graft unto this original olive tree. "Boast not thyself," verse 18, "against the branches." You know, it's kind of interesting. The Jews would boast themselves against the Gentiles. They would look their nose down at the Gentiles. There's indications that they even thought of the Gentiles as being dogs, you know, which were, you know, the vilest of beasts to the Eastern culture. You know, look down their nose. Now that the Gentiles have gotten in, here, this section is a caution for them not to boast, for them not to look their nose down on the Judeans, isn't it? I guess it's just human nature that people want to, you know, think they're better than somebody else. They, by their pride, look their nose down on them. But here, the Gentiles, those are cautioned, "Boast not thyself, not against the branches. For if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee." You know, the root here being those of an Israelitic background. "Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in." And can you see the pride, the haughtiness in that statement? "Well, because of unbelief they were broken off. And thou stands by believing." You know, how is it that the Gentiles got in? By believing. How is it that you stand upon God's word? By believing. You know, it's important to remember that. It says, "Thou standest by believing. Be not high-minded, but fear." Now, whenever in the Bible you read the word fear, it can have one of two meanings. One is the use that is most common today, fear, meaning being afraid of something. You know, the kind of fear that has torment, the kind of fear that keeps someone from believing God's word. As it says in Proverbs, that fear is a snare. You know, a very negative human emotion, fear. But there's also the very positive use of the word fear, particularly in the King James Bible, which means reverence or respect. And that's the use here. It's not telling them to be afraid of God. You know, gosh, we've read earlier that we're in such close relationship with God that we can call him our daddy. But be not high-minded, but fear or have reverence. Have respect for what God has done. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Now, this could be understood in one of two ways. This certainly, if it's addressed to Gentiles who have yet to confess Jesus as Lord, believe in their heart, God raised him from the dead, then they need to have reverence, respect for God's word, and believe it, because you stand by believing. But if this is addressed to people who've already believed God's word, we know that this isn't talking about losing your salvation. Sometimes people will isolate a text or isolate a scripture, and this is one that they will, and they'll think that somehow salvation can be lost. If salvation can be lost, how in the heck is it eternal life? If salvation can be lost, how in the heck is it incorruptible seed? If you're born of your earthly parents, which all of us are, you can't lose that. You know, you might lose the relationship. You might fall out of favor with your parents, but you can't lose your sonship because it's seed. You're born the first time. Well, the same thing when you're born from above. God is our Father, and he puts his seed in us, and that seed is eternal life. So this is a caution for the Gentiles not to be high-minded. Certainly, if they become high-minded, if they quit believing the word, don't stand by believing, then there's going to be consequence. It says, verse 22, "Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God, on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off." Now again, this is not talking about losing your salvation. Didn't we read at the end of Romans chapter 8 that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God? Certainly our sin has been paid for. But for us to continue to have fellowship with God, we need to continue in his goodness. We certainly don't want to be cut off from that wonderful blessing of an intimate relationship with our Father. Verse 23, "And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again." Again, inner heart's desire of Paul, like it says, beginning of Romans chapter 10, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And if they're saved, they'll be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if thou were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature under a good olive tree, how much more shall these," those of a Judean background, those who should have believed the one true God, "which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." This is not referring to the great mystery, which we're going to read about in the book of Ephesians, but it is a mystery. And the mystery is the blindness that has happened in part to Israel. Not wholly, because some believed. In fact, there were thousands of people during the first century of a Judean background who believed concerning Jesus Christ. But as a nation, blindness has happened to Israel. And this is until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. When will that occur? Well, we know that the fullness of the Gentiles will have come into the church by the time of the gathering together. In verse 26, "And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." Now, when it says all Israel shall be saved, we've seen that Israel can be referred to in the book of Romans, this is true in the church epistles generally, in two ways. One is those of a certain bloodline, you know, those who are descendants of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. But are all those people of that bloodline going to be saved? Heck no! The word Israel means beloved of God. All of Israel, all the beloved of God that will be saved are those that believe concerning Jesus Christ. And that's the other way that the word Israel is used. Israel is used of the believers. In the book of Philippians, it says, we are the circumcision. We are the circumcision. This is talking about the church. At the end of the book of Galatians, it refers to the believers, the church of God, as being the Israel of God. So all Israel shall be saved. Yeah, all that believe. Not all of a bloodline, but all that believe. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. And this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Now, verse 27 is a reference to the new covenant. And this is described further as we get into the church epistles. The new covenant is that God would take away the sins of his people by the work of the Messiah, by the work of the Redeemer. The new covenant is a covenant of the Spirit. It's not the old letter, the old law that was given to Moses. That covenant's over. Remember Romans 10:4? Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to all that believe. No, this is talking about the new covenant. This is my covenant unto them, that I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. And boy, when you read through the book of Acts, when you get a feel and an understanding for first century church history, this is so true, that the Judeans opposed the outreach of God's word. They persecuted the church. Particularly, they had persecuted Paul. So it says, as concerning the gospel, they of a Judean background are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. The fathers meaning the believers of the Old Testament, the ones who had believed God, the ones who, like Abraham, like Isaac, like Jacob, like David. So these people, being descendants of those men, were beloved of God for the Father's sake. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. It's a great truth. You know, God doesn't change his mind when he calls someone. God doesn't change his mind when he gives someone a gift. You know, we might. We might change our minds. Gosh, when I was growing up, it was described as being an Indian giver. I don't know if that is still true today, if that phrase is probably out of style to use today, but sometimes people will give a gift and then want it back. Never with God. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. God called Israel. Now it's his will that Israel believe. God has called us. And we have believed concerning his son, Jesus Christ. And there's encouragement here for us to continue to stand by believing. To not get all high-minded, not get all haughty, but to have reverence, have respect for the things of God, and have respect for others, even if they have yet to believe. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. Isn't that wonderful? You know, the Gentiles being addressed here didn't believe, but now have believed, become part of the church of God. Israel that has yet to believe could believe, and certainly the Gentiles could be in a position to minister God's word to them. So it says, even so these also now have not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. And certainly God's will is that people repent, that people change. If you haven't believed, that you will believe. You know, gosh, it's so wonderful when you stop and think about it. There's a lot of people that you might come in contact with in your life, whether it's, it could be in your family, could be through your work or school or different neighbors in your neighborhood that have yet to believe. But we should keep in mind that God wants to have mercy on them, that God wants them to believe. You know, we should reach out and help people, show forth the goodness of God, share the word of God and the love of God so that people will be one to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is God's will. It says, verse 33, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." You know, when this word of God starts to unfold and you see his great mercy, you see his goodness, you know, it just, the heart response of a believer to say things like this, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." And this finishes up this great parenthetical insertion, this great section, this three-chapter enlargement addressing Jews and Gentiles during the age of grace. Right in the middle of this sits like a diamond, the most clear description in all of God's word of the word that we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And that is true of people of a Judean background and people of a Gentile background. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So praise God that we've done it. And aren't these wonderful verses to conclude this section? Just praising God. "For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen."